And now, Ben Bailey.
When we think of great heroes of the Bible, especially of the Old Testament, one that is always drawn up as an example is the great King David. In contrast to Saul, who was bent on doing what he wanted, who did not fully follow the will of God, David is a man who was faithful to God, even known as a man after God's own heart, a friend of God in some way. What is it that made David such a powerful example, a great man of God? It was what was on the inside, not the outside, that made David a great servant of God. Although he was king of all Israel, probably one of the most glorified kings Israel ever had or ever will have, he was a great man on the inside. He was one who was humble, who submitted to the will of God, and although he was a king, he recognized he was a servant of God Almighty. David was also a great man because he conquered the Goliaths, the giants, in his life. David has a start in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18 with the battle against Goliath. You remember the account. There is a warrior of the Philistines named Goliath, and Goliath has for many days come out and taunted the people of God, cursing, mocking them. David sees that and he's irate. And he says, I will go and fight this giant. Of course, he's just a young lad. The people don't think he can do it. But David trusts in God. And with five small stones, David takes that something like a slingshot and nails Goliath and kills him that day. But what made David such a great warrior? It wasn't his size. It wasn't the power necessarily of his weapons. It was his trust in God. Some trust in horses, David will say in the Psalms, and some trust in chariots. But my trust, he will say, is in the Almighty God of heaven and earth. But like Abraham and like Moses, David, also a great man of God, he also had downfalls. We see David's downfall in 2 Samuel chapter 11. This friend of God, man after God's own heart, also had a temptation of lust. Here is David, and he is up on the rooftop at the time when kings usually go out to war, and David sees Bathsheba bathing. And he lusts after her, and he takes her and has relations with her, and ultimately she becomes pregnant. Well, the only problem is Bathsheba's married, and her husband is a faithful warrior for the people of God. David calls Uriah, brings him home, tries to get him to go to his own wife so that he won't think the child is David's. He won't do that. He's too faithful. He lays at the door of the house and won't even go and be with his wife. And ultimately, he has Uriah murdered by putting him on the front line and draws the troops back when they're in the heat of battle. What horrible things David got involved in. Deceit, adultery, murder, all those things just out of a lust over another person. And yet Nathan comes to David and confronts him with his sin and says, you are the man. And David says, I have sinned. You know, David got involved in some pretty sinful things. How could he still be that great man of God? Because David took care of his sin in the way God wanted him to. Listen to the words of Psalm 51. David says in his Psalm of Penitence, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. David, when he recognized his sin, when he admitted that, he was willing to deal with it in the way that God told him to. We can be great people like David, like Abraham, and like Moses if we'll put our trust in God, and if ultimately, when we recognize sin in our life, we're willing to do what God says to be saved. David was a great man because he took care of his sin problem. Have you taken care of the sin problem? The Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible teaches that because of that sin, we have been separated from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And if we remain in that sin, the wages of it is death. Romans 6, 23. Recognize that all of us do sin, and then be ready to deal with it in a God-approved way. How does God tell us to deal with sin in the New Testament? The Bible makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is the sin sacrifice. Hebrews 10, verse 12. And we must access His death and His blood to be saved. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Well, how does a person do that? I first have to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Having heard that Word, recognize that the Bible is our only guide, I then must believe in Jesus. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will surely die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Having believed in Jesus, I must be willing to repent. Peter preached, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3, verse 19. Then I must confess Jesus before men. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. And I must be baptized to go to heaven, to be saved. Peter said it this way, baptism does now also save us. Don't let anybody tell you that baptism is not essential. Any person who is truly seeking the will of God will recognize that baptism is essential. Peter said it does now save us. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Will you be a person like David? Are you willing to take care of the sin problem in your life? Our prayer and our hope for you is that you'll have such a strong desire to follow and do the will of God that you will submit to His will and obey the gospel before it's everlastingly too late.